WTBR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The awful haze and smoke from the wildfires in Canada is making life miserable for many Americans in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic. In Philadelphia, which has the nation's worst air quality at the moment.
Sore throat, just hard to breathe. So it's been very taxing.
Officials are telling people not to exercise outdoors, but for some hardcore runners in the nation's capital.
We took into consideration all that, and we're just running very easy. And we decided we'd cut it short if it felt more difficult than it has.
Meteorologist David Parkinson tells us it could be around another day or so.
Instead of coming straight out of the north, it's coming out of the northwest. So you're starting to see all of the smoke that's coming down from Pittsburgh and Detroit down into the mid-Atlantic. That I'm most concerned about Washington, D.C. this afternoon, and then the Philadelphia-Delaware Valley. That area looks to be getting it worse.
The Nationals have postponed their game and Belmont Park has canceled racing. The Supreme Court has just ruled in a major redistricting case in Alabama, backing black voters there and challenging a Republican-drawn electoral map, calling it political. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Chief Justice John Roberts, joined by his conservative colleague Justice Kavanaugh and all of the liberals, really said there is still teeth to the Voting Rights Act. He starts the opinion by going all the way back to the 15th Amendment and talking about why we needed the Voting Rights Act at all.
The Voting Rights Act was passed at a time when southern states, including Alabama, enforced policies blocking black people from casting ballots. The Senate Health Committee is looking into youth mental health, its causes and solutions. The hearing comes after data showing pandemic isolation, as well as social media, played an important role in the number of youth who suffered from depression and thoughts of suicide. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy testified before the committee today.
I'm increasingly concerned about the harmful impact that social media is having on youth mental health. And while social media may provide some benefits for some children, there's a growing body of research associating social media use with potential harms.
And in France, a horrific knife attack today that injured young children, as Elaine Cobb reports.
Six people, including four small children, were injured in the Alpine town of Annecy when a man attacked them with a knife in a lakeside playground. The man, a Syrian Christian, has now been placed under investigation for attempted murder. The prime minister said the attacker was refused asylum in France just days ago because he already has refugee status in Sweden, where he has a wife and a child of the same age as those in the playground.
On Wall Street, the Dow is currently up about 40-some points, and the S&P 500 is higher, too.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot trademarks of their respective companies.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Drought conditions are getting worse in Wisconsin. A full one-fourth of the state is now officially in a moderate drought. It's not much better anywhere else. 88% is considered abnormally dry. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
Portions of Wisconsin have seen up to 3 inches of less rain than normal over the past few months. This is leading to agricultural problems and lower water levels, burn bans, yellowing grass, and outdoor water bans. And crops are beginning to be stressed during a crucial time. The UW Extension crops and soils educator Jerry Clark said farmers were able to plant seeds after a wet period earlier this year. But now the herbicides aren't working because they are water activated, which may lead to increased weeds later in the season. Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil due to these dry conditions, which in turn may not feed crops properly. The Climate Prediction Center at the NWS shows soil moisture below normal in nearly all of Wisconsin, with seasonal levels far below normal in the southern two-thirds of the state. And to boot, June is forecasted to bring below average rainfall alongside above average temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Brittany will have more in her Civic Media weather forecast coming up in just a bit. It looks like a huge development in negotiations today over reforming the way Wisconsin state government shares money with local communities. Channel 58 in Milwaukee is reporting that an amended version of the shared revenue bill would let the Milwaukee City Council and the Milwaukee County Board vote on new local sales taxes. Under the new version of the bill, sales tax increases would have to pass with a two-thirds majority. Democrat LaTanya Johnson represents Milwaukee in the state Senate.
The shared revenue is extremely important for Milwaukee, but making sure that the budget is complete before July is also extremely important. We understand that there are 71 other counties that that the budget is important for, too.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had said for weeks that he was done negotiating a version of the bill that his chamber passed. It required sales tax hikes to go to referendum. Late yesterday, Senate Republican leader Devin LeMahieu gave Governor Evers a take-it-or-leave-it ultimatum on what he called his party's last best offer, without saying what that was. Well, the new study from Minnesota is any indication, removing forever chemicals from wastewater in Wisconsin will be very expensive. More from Mike Moan.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency estimates it would cost $14 to $28 billion to remove PFAS from the water and biosolids leaving regional wastewater treatment facilities. The MPCA Scott Kaiser led the research project and says trying to add the equipment would be a big adjustment.
Those treatment systems are new, they're complicated, and they just take a lot of money to operate.
The study adds the new types of PFAS are more difficult and up to 70% more expensive to remove and destroy compared to older substances. Forever chemicals are found in a range of products and create serious health risks for consumers. They also can contaminate surface water, groundwater, drinking water, fish, and other wildlife. I'm Mike Moen.
The number of people in Wisconsin prisons on an average day is on track to get back to pre-pandemic levels as early as next year. That's according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. There are more than 40,000 felony cases making their way through the Wisconsin court system May 1st. That would put prisons for men over capacity and the need to rent more space in county jails. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A Democratic lawmaker in Milwaukee thinks that if there is a sales tax increase in the city or county, it should be subject to a referendum. Both the mayor and county executive are expressing concerns that voters may reject a local sales tax increase, potentially leading to a bankruptcy in the future. State Senator Lena Taylor argues that the people of Milwaukee should be given the opportunity to make that decision. Governor Tony Evers visited Racine's Samuel Myers Park yesterday after the city got a grant from the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program. The grant, totaling just over $26,000, will be used to construct a viewing platform in the park, enhancing public access to the restored wetland. A year and a half after the crime, prosecutors in Racine have moved ahead towards justice. Jimmy Casca has more.
Christopher Martinez, a 24-year-old from Waukegan, has now been charged in connection with a drug-related home invasion homicide in Racine back in 2021. His brother Jonathan has also been charged in the case, and he's set to face trial in October. Christopher Martinez is being held on $1 million cash bond and was charged this week.
Thanks, Jimmy. The Waukesha Police Department says 76-year-old Gerald Kutchler failed to stop at a red light, leading to a fatal crash in which he died over the weekend in Waukesha. Body camera footage recently released provides a glimpse of the chaotic situation faced by Kenosha police back in December. It was during a shootout at a home near the courthouse.
Right here, in front of me, this house directly in front of me.
Following an investigation, it was determined that police did not engage in any wrongdoing during the incident, in which Matthew Lopez shot himself. Three people were injured in the incident. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Rogers.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. We have another picture-perfect day ahead of us. Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies. Light winds out of the northeast will keep lakeside towns cooler into the 60s. However, did you notice that we haven't been feeling much humidity lately? That'll stay the case today and has led to an elevated fire weather warning throughout a majority of the state. Sandy soil regions of the northwest are the biggest concern. This persistent dry weather has also led to drought conditions and dry vegetation, which acts as fuel for fire. Please avoid campfires, outdoor grilling, fireworks, chainsaws, and using all-terrain vehicles, as they could cause sparks and ignite a fire. Tonight, skies will stay clear as temperatures fall into the 50s for a majority of the state, but remain quite chilly into the Northwoods, falling into the low 40s. Have a tremendous Thursday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A surprising move in the NFL. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Minnesota Vikings are going to release their Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook tomorrow. Cook has been with the team 6 years. Last night, it was reported the Vikings may also be shopping defensive end Danielle Hunter for a trade. The move seen as a way to make salary cap space for their star wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. In Green Bay, the Packers wrapping up OTAs. Receiver Romeo Doubs asked how the practices went.
It's been fast. You know, I mean, I know coming into this building, I knew what I was getting myself into. I know how much of an offensive guy LaFleur is.
Jordan Love has struggled at times throwing tight spirals when passing on the move.
Yeah, no, I'm working through that right now with the balls right now, but there's a couple tight wobblers out there. As a quarterback, it's never fun to see the ball, you know, kind of not spinning exactly how you want to.
How can it be corrected? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
You always continue to work on the mechanics, the smooth throwing motion.
NBA, the Bucks taking a break after introducing their new head coach, Adrian Griffin. Marjan Beauchamp is headed out of town to meet Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm actually taking off to Greece tomorrow, so I don't know where he's at right now, but I'm supposed to meet him.
Over in Greece?
Yep.
What are you guys going to do while you're over there?
Train to go, and we're going to get ready for next season.
Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. Denver leads 2-1. Baseball, the Brewers with a big win last night at American Family Field in front of over 22,000 fans, a 10-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles. The series wraps up this afternoon. Joey Weimer with a diving catch in the outfield and hitting 2 home runs. Says it was the new mullet haircut he got last week on their road trip against the Reds.
So my buddy Dre in Cincinnati, he's cut my hair for the last 6 years. He might not be the most precise barber of all time, but he's my barber, so.
Pitcher Corbin Burns, who dealt 8 scoreless innings, says having a bat like Weimer at the bottom of the order sparks the offense.
It makes the bottom lineup really tough. When you get guys swinging a bat like that, guys at the bottom getting on base, flipping lineup over for Yelly and Willie and Rowdy at the top, it makes your offense that more dynamic.
Willie Adames had a home run in his first at bat after taking a hard hit foul ball to the side of his head back in May, and told us what the doctors told him in the emergency room.
Especially after he saw the video, he was like, he said it right away, like, you're lucky and you have a really hard hit. And I was like, everybody know that.
With Adames back, another popular player, Bryce Terang, had to be sent down to the minors. Terang had been 0-21 at the plate before a clutch hit Tuesday night. Even the voice of the Brewers, Bob Uecker, spoke with Terang as he packed his bags.
Keep your head up. Keep doing you, and like, I'll figure it out.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on what he told Bryce Terang before he left.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brandon Woodruff got options. Corbin Burns got options. Freddie Peralta got options. This is, great, very, very good players in the major leagues that have great careers get options. It's just where he's at right now.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler and a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then too with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 76. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 47 tonight. Bright sunshine tomorrow, high of 80. Mid-80s Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Much cooler Sunday with highs in the mid-60s and showers possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
To Homegrown Radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will be driving the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I am joined today by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing well, Will. I'm doing well on this Thursday afternoon and glad to be with you here on the airwaves.
Got to give a shout out to you, Luke, as well as our listeners in the Madison area. Happy 608 day. As you are well aware, and I might not have been from Monday's date mishap, but today is, in fact, June 8th.
Did we review the tape? Did we find out? Did we find out if you said 1st or 5th on Monday yet? I haven't reviewed the tape. We're going to have to go back and check it out.
I purposely chose not to review the tape because I don't want to know the answer to that question.
That is a decision. That is a decision to make. But not just here in Madison for our Mad Radio listeners, but also our friends in news from the center, WRCE. They're also part of the 608. And all the way up, the brand new station in La Crosse, WLCX La Crosse is our listening audience. All 608 as well. So the 608 area code, a very expansive area code around South Central and Southwestern Wisconsin. So all of our friends in the 608 today, happy June 8th, 608 day.
Shout out to the 608. So today I'd like to discuss a little bit about ballot referendums. It's a topic that we've covered in the past quite extensively, particularly in regards to Dunn County with the Our Wisconsin Revolution healthcare referendum. But today we're focusing on Milwaukee County and Milwaukee County sales tax. Reading from a piece at CBS 58, shared revenue shift bill will allow Milwaukee officials to vote on sales tax. Three different sources in Milwaukee local government have told CBS 58 the shared revenue bill will put the Milwaukee sales tax vote, which has been the biggest sticking point in the state capital, in the hands of Milwaukee Common Council and Milwaukee County Board. I'm asking you today, the people of Wisconsin, which approach is better? Do we rely on our elected officials to make these decisions, or should these big decisions go to the voters themselves? Do we want a more democratic approach, or do we want a more representative democracy?
A Republican, a little R Republican, because that's what a Republican is. Republican. You elect the officials to make those decisions for you.
Mm-hmm. And we discussed this a little bit before the show, Luke. Other examples where we have seen this in the past, you used Brexit as a point, where do we want the individual citizens, each and every one of them, to have their vote counted? Do we want the decision to be in their hands, whether that is positive or negative in the long run? You have no one to blame but yourself. Or do we want this decision to be in the hands of the elected officials we choose to represent us? I chose the former. I believe that in most situations, it is always better to allow the people to make this decision. But I want to hear what you think, people of Wisconsin. And for right now, I'd like to hear what you think, Mr. Luke Mathers. Do we defer to individual citizens, or do we defer to elected officials when we have important legislation like this?
Yeah, and if you want to share your thoughts, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And Will, this is an interesting one because, again, we have a Republican government. We have a republic that we elect individuals to make these decisions for us. And I think there are some issues that are good for direct democracy, direct ballot initiatives, making these decisions. I think other times, you know, it seems like the stakes are a little too high, and maybe the average voter doesn't necessarily have all of the insight they would need to make a decision. And so you want information. You want good information when you're making decisions. And so in the case of Brexit, I don't know. The stakes were pretty high in something like that. In the case of here in Milwaukee County for this shared revenue, the stakes are pretty high, Will. With the city and county possibly being able to go towards default or bankruptcy of those drastic measures if a agreement is not made for accepting this. If the voters decided not to accept a higher sales tax on themselves. And you're telling me that this is going to be a standalone ballot referendum possibly that would have to go. There's no other elections going on here in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to have a special election for a state assembly district, but that's not in Milwaukee County. It might touch on Milwaukee County, I guess.
That's my neck of the woods, baby.
I'll have to defer to you district on that one. I'm not sure if there's any portion of Milwaukee County in that 24th Assembly District, but you're going to have a standalone ballot initiative that has dire consequences. It's the only thing that voters would be going out is whether or not to raise taxes on themselves. It's a lot to ask for from the community, and those are pretty high stakes.
Especially if the community, as you said, doesn't understand the implications of not passing something like this increased sales tax. Another point that I'd like to make that is against my argument, we'll side with you a little bit here, is just logistically, it would be incredibly, incredibly difficult to have every single, you know, quote unquote, important issue put to a ballot.
Yes.
Are we going to have elections like three times a week? Are we going
to
have...
You'd be voting all the time. You'd be voting nonstop. You wouldn't be able to do your day-to-day life. That's why we, again, have a republic. That's why Benjamin Franklin, when he got out of, Constitutional Hall in Philadelphia, said it's a republic if you can keep it. And so the design of the way that we base our government here in Wisconsin in the United States is that we elect individuals to make these decisions. They're very important decisions. I think a lot of the decisions that get made are very important. It's interesting to see how they get balanced, but it's also one of those things, Will, where it kind of depends on what the issue is at hand for who supports a ballot initiative when. Because Wisconsin voters, we don't have a binding referendum that we as individuals can go out and try to get on a ballot and then have it pass and become law. The state legislature has the ability to pass in consecutive sessions a joint resolution that then would be presented to Wisconsin voters in binding situations similar to what we had this past April. We saw some of the statewide referendums that were binding on the ballot, and voters got to decide. But if you're going to have direct democracy like that, I think you got to have something that then the voters themselves could bring and put binding resolutions on the ballot statewide as well, because you can't have it the wishy-washy way that currently here in the state of Wisconsin I feel is a little wishy-washy, because the voters can't put the items on the ballot themselves.
And think about turnout, particularly amongst young people. We've been struggling to get people to turn out to, you know, presidential elections when you have one election in November with hundreds of millions of dollars spent to try to get the entire population of the United States out to vote. Imagine what it would look like if we had, you know, multiple elections a week, unless we had some kind of futuristic technology where it could be done from your home, safe, secure. But of course, I think a lot of elected officials, because they're already upset with things such as drop boxes and other means of voting, it would be very, very difficult to get that proposal through. So we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear what you have to say about ballot referendums in the state of Wisconsin. If you'd like to contribute to the forum today, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got Michael on line one. Michael, what do you think about the ballot referendums in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I think that it has a place. Right. I think that we should be cautious about having, you know, too much direct democracy when it comes to every little issue. Right. We do have a republic for a reason, because, you know, you look at some landmark legislation, things like the Voting Rights Act would have never passed if it was put to the voters. Right. That is something that was the right thing ultimately in the history. history books we can look back at as being something that was a good move for our country, but had it been put to the voters, would have never passed at the time, or even something like, you know, gay marriage, for example, at the time, and how the views have shifted over time, and historically we look at that. But I think that the problem we have here in Wisconsin is the fact that we don't have the ability as voters to put something up to a referendum directly. It has to instead, you know, be initiated by the legislative body. And that's more, I think, where the place of that should be, is that by something that's voter initiated, if we feel that, like, as voters, that our representatives are misrepresenting us, that we have the ability to then have that kind of check and balance on it by having a voter initiated referendum, which is obviously what we don't currently have. But I do feel like there's a place for it. But it, I think on something like raising taxes, like you said, you know, trying to get a bunch of people out there to raise their own taxes, not always going to be the best thing, even if it's the best thing for the community overall.
That's a really good point, Michael. Stay on the line because we're going to talk about something that you mentioned at the end there. We're also going to go to line two. If you want to be like Michael or Mark from the SAC, who is on line two right now, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. Mark, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm curious, did all the other communities, all the other counties and communities across the state that raised their own sales tax, did they actually... wouldn't that be a referendum, or did they have, did their elected officials decide to do that for the, you know, to put that in, you know, Republican form, that to put that tax in place? Because, you know, once again, it seems like we're singling out Milwaukee County, that and that it is and it's so important, vitally important. I listened to Maggie Don yesterday. It's vitally important that Milwaukee County gets some extra funding here, because they need the extra funding, and Milwaukee County is one of the crown jewels of the state of Wisconsin, as all the other 72 counties are jewels of the state of Wisconsin. But Milwaukee County is such a driver of the business interests in the state.
Mark, I don't know if any other county is trying to raise its own sales tax. I don't believe that is an initiative that has been brought forth in any other county, far as I'm aware of. Other counties have raised property taxes to address fiscal shortcomings, and that is something that we've seen through ballot referendums, that local school boards and municipalities are saying, hey, we have to increase our property taxes, and then those have gone through. And so it is an interesting dilemma, but as you point out, Milwaukee is an economic engine for the state. When the Milwaukee Bucks 2 summers ago won the NBA Finals, all
Bucks
of the...
Bucks and six?
Always. Bucks and six forever. And the economic benefits that were generated through the millions of people coming to Milwaukee to participate, go to the games, and be a part of that championship run, the city of Milwaukee saw very few of the actual benefits from it, because all of that share, because of how broken the shared revenue formula is, a lot of those monies were going to the state or to the Wisconsin Center Business District. There was specifically a business district set up in that area as well to fund the Wisconsin Center. And so not a lot of economic benefits going towards the city or the county itself to be able to reap the benefits of that economic success that Milwaukee had. And so changing the sales tax formula would allow them to do so. But again, it's a very important decision. I don't know if it's a standalone ballot initiative or worthy decision, but it could be. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, we're going to continue the conversation. We got a couple more callers, so we're going to continue to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
We'll see you right after the break.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The smoke and haze from the Eastern Canada wildfires is keeping millions of people indoors here in the U.S. and delaying some flights, as correspondent Chris Van Cleve reports.
So far, you're not seeing a lot of cancellations, but you are seeing some disruptions, some delays and getting in and out of the Northeast because of all of the smoke.
That could have impacts across the nation. The Supreme Court has issued a surprising 5-4 ruling in favor of black voters in a congressional redistricting case in Alabama. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Alabama did not count on Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh siding with liberals.
Religious broadcaster Pat Robertson has died. He was the founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, where he hosted the 700 Club.
Thank you. Oh, we've got a wonderful audience and a wonderful program.
Robertson was 93 years old. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. Milwaukee's inclusion in a plan to distribute $500 million to local governments across the state is uncertain, as Assembly Speaker Robin Vaughs hinted at the possibility of removing Milwaukee-specific provisions from the shared revenue plan. That's in order to reach a compromise. There's hope for a resolution by tomorrow. The identity of the man who died in an early morning house fire on 19th Street in Racine yesterday remains unknown. The fire seems to have originated from two bedrooms, and investigations are underway to determine the cause. A view of the chaos for Kenosha police back in December is on display in body camera footage released of a shootout near the courthouse.
Yes! Gun!
PD, there's a gun! There's a gun!
An investigation found no wrongdoing by police in the shootout in which Matthew Lopez shot himself. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off. Enjoy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July. Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Get ready to dominate the field like never before. Get to Soccer World in Brookfield. They have a great selection of shoes, apparel, and accessories to help kick your game into high gear. Soccer World's team of soccer experts have over 38 years of experience in the retail and soccer market. From cleats to shin guards, jerseys to coaching equipment, they'll help you stay ahead of the game. Plus, look to Soccer World for all your team business needs. Soccer World, 12615 West North Avenue in Brookfield, or online at soccerworldofbrookfield.net.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. It's Civic Media. We love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kinert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call. We're talking ballot referendum questions in the state of Wisconsin. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We have Jim from Appleton on the line. Jim, do you have any thoughts on the referendum questions in the state of Wisconsin, whether non-binding should be allowed or whether we should be deferring to the people in the state itself?
Well, a couple of years back, Outagamie County, the board, passed a 0.5% sales tax. Weeks later, the executive, Tom Nelson, vetoed the sales tax. The board sat on it for a little while, took some more public input, and then overrode the veto. So he is one of those counties that has a sales tax. And I have no problem with that process. but that's how a republic is supposed to work. As far as referendum, I wish we had the opportunity for direct legislation. And yeah, I think advisory referendum are important, and they should be allowed on the ballot.
And we've seen plenty of examples. We're going to touch on that going forward now because Michael mentioned that earlier. So, Michael, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. We have seen through the years a number of attempts at ballot referendum questions. I will, of course, highlight our Wisconsin Revolution's national not-for-profit health insurance program ballot referendum question went through in November and passed 51-49. Now, of course, this is a rural, conservative, statistically white community that would not necessarily be stereotypically considered to be, you know, left-leaning, quote-unquote. The victorious incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers won 36% of the vote in Dunn County, meaning he was outperformed by this ballot referendum by 15 points. Why? Because the people of Wisconsin, the voters of Wisconsin, recognize that the health insurance industry is predatory and has been taking advantage of people for far too long. We offered a potential solution, and the voters said, yes, that would be a good idea. We would support that. Unfortunately, as we have mentioned throughout the show, in Wisconsin, it is purely non-binding. Are there any other ideas or topics that you, the voters, the people of Wisconsin, think would be beneficial? Obviously, marijuana legalization is a popular one. Abortion is something that has been that has come up numerous times, and we have a nice clip to kind of back that point. But Michael, what would you like to see put on the ballot if we would be able to directly impact the state legislature in that regard?
I mean, I think you definitely raised two of the most important ones. I mean, definitely abortion rights for sure, which I mean, we just saw kind of vindicated by the recent election for Supreme Court judge. You know, that was a major talking point of that election. And we know, you know, that's where most Wisconsinites are at. They would like to not see the 1849 law still be the law of the land here in Wisconsin. But because of the gerrymandering that has happened throughout the state, unfortunately, it still is. And so, or even, like you said, either medical or recreational marijuana, same thing. There's a lot of support there for it. But and that's where I think those referendums have a place and should be, you know, available. And I think the big thing is just, you know, whether or not we make those binding or whether or not we even allow them to be, you know, more, I guess, started by the voters themselves rather than something that has to come out of the legislative body first. So I think that's kind of a major point when it comes to that. But yeah, I mean, like what you kind of the example with the health insurance, it's the same thing. It's, you know, traditionally you wouldn't expect that county to be on the more liberal side of things. Obviously it wasn't in terms of its voting record, but you know, when it comes to some of those more progressive ideas and some of those things, they can be winning, even in a more conservative area because people understand, you know, that, you know, big business can sometimes be more powerful than, you know, the special interest groups can be more powerful than the actual, you know, what people actually want. And so that's where then it's important, too, to kind of override that and not have money be the thing that's driving those decisions in the legislature.
I think what's interesting, too, is direct legislation is one of the only ways that the citizens can kind of beat heavily gerrymandered maps. And I think it's one of the biggest reasons we have seen elected officials put such an emphasis on gerrymandering is if you can't even get these debates to the floor, they have no chance of actually passing. And in the state of Wisconsin, because all of our ballot referendums are non-binding, anything that would come to the ballot will not have the legal teeth to be enforced. Well, if we're not able to change that, what are we going to get done?
Ironically, I believe there's been now a majority of Wisconsin counties that have had advisory referendums saying that they support fair maps in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And having a fair maps commission similar to our neighbors in Iowa, which is that's Iowa's not a purple state anymore, even. Iowa more along the lines of a red state, and they have a fair maps commission. And so for counties to be able to go and use advisory referendum to say, well, we want fair maps. We don't want Democratic maps. We don't want Republican maps. We want fair maps. I feel like the advisory referendum's good there. But again, it's non-binding. And so without direct legislation, all of those ballot referendums are only going to go to an inbox somewhere, essentially. Say, this is what we supported this year on this ballot. And outside of that, they don't mean a whole lot.
I think it's kind of a way to placate the voters. You know, we heard your suggestions. We know what you think and we'll consider it. But then I have to defer back to that Princeton study a few years ago that determined that the average American voter has zero say in what is done or said in their local government. Mark, what kind of issues would you like to see put on the ballot if the citizens of Wisconsin were able to directly legislate on their own?
Well, certainly the marijuana, legalization of marijuana, and also lifting the ban on abortions in the state of Wisconsin. I think there's a comment made in one of the Federalist Papers that commented that but why the founders actually preferred a Republican form of government as opposed to direct democracy. They said that every citizen could be a Socrates or a Solon, but it would still be, it would still be a mob making the decision, which is what Athenian democracy was. And it was just everybody voted, every eligible voted there. But I mean, it was a more inefficient form of government as opposed to maybe slightly less representative than actually the Republican form of democracy that we have in this country, in this state. That I think that it's just that how much does it cost to get those referendums on the ballot, to have a referendum campaign on it, and that we decided to go with a representative form of democracy rather than its direct democracy in this country.
Yeah, and the price tag already on an election every 2 years that we do for midterms and every 4 years for the presidential and Congress is pretty pricey. So imagining doing that all the time would have a huge price tag on it outside of just the time.
Three elections a week would add up.
Yeah, that's a lot. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Matters. He's William Walter. You can share your opinion with us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Talking about ballot referendums here in the state of Wisconsin. And it is interesting who brings them up and when they're convenient, because as you noted in the piece over at CBS 58, that previous Democratic lawmakers from the Milwaukee area have supported a ballot referendum for raising the city and county sales taxes, but now they're not for it because of the timing, what I would believe, Will, but you want to hear your thoughts on how some people are for them sometimes and against them other times.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, it really hits at the question that we've been asking the entirety of the show, in that, do we trust the voters to make the best decision possible? I am a firm believer in, we have a democracy, the government gets its power from the people who it is supposed to represent. We should defer to them when capable. Of course, we have seen in the past that sometimes that can lead to poor decisions or a misinformed population that can be more easily manipulated into making a decision that perhaps they're not as well informed on, or they've been given information that does not give them the entirety of the picture, might be less likely to make that decision. You touched on it, Luke, earlier in the show, that this would be catastrophic if Milwaukee is unable to pass this. The city is struggling financially. Shared revenue has been at the forefront of a lot of elected officials' minds for years and years and years, and this was the solution that Milwaukee County would have. We know that Wisconsin allows counties to have a sales tax of up to 0.5%. The shared revenue bill would let Milwaukee County bump its sales tax to 0.875%. And under this new bill, Milwaukee would be allowed to pursue a 2% city sales tax. So that's a massive, massive increase in revenue that the city would be able to generate. And without that money, we're seeing the results. I mean, we see it in our public schools. We see it with our with public utilities. The city is going to be suffering going forward. And it's not just Milwaukee, Luke. That's what's really interesting, is a number of communities across the state of Wisconsin have presented shared revenue as a massive issue going forward. I'd like to kind of jump back a little bit into a point that Michael made earlier, which was that we're seeing the voters side with policies that might not be considered, traditionally supported by what party they support. And we, you know, we here at Civic Media and on Town Call are not the only ones who have been talking about ballot referendums being used to decide important legislation. I have an interesting clip, Aaron, if you have it available, from a Mr. Ron Johnson on what we would do with ballot referendum questions, particularly regarding abortion. Aaron?
It should be decided by we the people in each individual state. And I've said repeatedly that the decision that has to be made on a state-by-state basis is at what point does society have the responsibility to protect life? And again, I have my views, but I didn't want 9 Supreme Court justices to decide that for everybody. I really don't want 535 members of Congress to decide that for the nation. I really want the people, through their elected representatives in the state, to decide that on a state-by-state basis.
So it seems like, he's taking a bit of a cop-out in that he's not making the decision. He's going to defer back to the elected officials in the state. He notes that he doesn't want the 535 elected officials at the federal level to be making this decision. He wants the elected officials at the state level to be making this decision. So he's not necessarily taking the direct democracy approach. He's not necessarily taking the elected representative approach, at least federally. He's taking the only elected officials at your local level should be able to make that decision. Perhaps that has something to do with the fact that his state sides with him because of a lot of heavily gerrymandered maps. Michael or Mark, what do you think on Ron Johnson's statement regarding the individual citizens to be the ones to make these important decisions?
Michael first.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah. My apologies, Michael and Mark. I did not set you up well for that. We'll go Michael first.
Sure. I think what he's doing there, he's doing kind of a classic politician move that he knows that abortion especially is a losing side of politics for him. I mean, that's why you've seen time and time again, ever since Roe v. Wade was struck down by the court, that, you know, even these traditionally, pro-life politicians have now started to, like, you know, run away from their position because they've seen ballot initiative after ballot initiative where they've tried to change the state constitution, even down in very conservative states like Oklahoma, where they have then been defeated time and time again because they're realizing that there's really that support for it. And so
Kansas as well, Michael. You know, Kansas went very pro-choice.
Oh, Kansas, yeah. Absolutely. And the same thing. So I think for him, it's a classic cop-out. I think he's trying to wiggle his way out of really, you know, I mean, he has a strong support there in terms of, like, what he's put as his position, but, like, he wants to, like, you know, have his cake and eat it too, in terms of wanting to say that, oh, well, this is, you know, we're not trying to legislate, you know, this for everybody. This is, should be up to the individual states, and it's a cop out because he's a senator, and he really should be acknowledging the fact of what we're seeing now with, like, how after that decision was struck down, how it has been just detrimental to women's health in terms of, you know, not being able to have access to that potentially life saving care in different. Thing and the confusion and chaos that it's caused in our healthcare system across the nation. And there's a reason why that should be something that is, you know, there's a reason why we have local issues and why we have, you know, federal and state issues, is because something as important as that should be held to a higher standard and should be something that's a little bit more common, because
100%, Michael, we're going to get right back to you after the break to finish up that thought. And we'll jump to Mark as well to hear his thoughts on Ron Johnson. We'll see you for the last segment right after the break.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy, fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward. Or online at freshfin.com. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny this afternoon with a high of 76. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows dip down to about 47. Sunny skies tomorrow, high of 80. Mid-80s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Much cooler Sunday with highs in the mid-60s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. Today we're discussing ballot referendums in the state of Wisconsin. If you'd like to participate in the forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Before the break, we were touching on Ron Johnson's quote that he also believes we should be allowing this type of legislation to be decided by the voters of Wisconsin. I want to go to Mark for his thoughts on the Ron Johnson quote. Mark, what did you think?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, that he's supposed to be representing us. And in the representative democracy, these guys are supposed to take responsibility for themselves, and particularly in the abortion issue, as Mike was pointing out, you know, prior to the break, that it's such an important issue because women have to sometimes flee their state to seek life-saving reproductive options in the case of abortion. That if you have a 6-week, you know, so now some of these states are saying, well, if you flee the state and do that, we're still going to pursue you criminally for seeking abortion in a state or other, you know, that in some cases life-saving abortive treatments, because it is banned in that particular state, and that the hurdles that women are now forced to jump through to access, in some cases, life-saving reproductive health care. I mean, and we can't just leave, you know, that unfortunately we can't leave that up to just the people, because in one state you can have this, so you just have such a patchwork, crazy quilt, patchwork of laws in this country if we left it up all up to individual states, because we are supposed to be one country, and the laws are supposed to apply equally in each and every state. The rights are supposed to be equal in all the states. You can't just say, well, in this state it's going to be okay, and this state it's not going to be okay. I mean, that there's a point of taking the little laboratories of democracy just too far, because in one state you can have, you know, the Handmaid's Tale state, and in another state you'd have a more liberal form of how women are treated. I mean, that it is just the incredible whiteness and the wrongness of Ron Johnson once again.
I think, Mark, the counter argument you would hear to that, and this might be, again, you know, the capitalist mindset, the grind set that a lot of Americans have, is they would argue, good, that's the point. People will then decide where they want to live if they have an option between living in the Handmaid's Tale and living in a free and fair democracy. Assuming the vast majority of people will choose to live in the free and fair democracy, that's where the bodies will go. That's where the economic output will come from. What do you think?
But in some cases, you know, economically, people just can't afford to leave where they're at and you know, go to someplace else. I mean, it is just it's just not the way it's that our Constitution guarantees that, you know, our government is supposed to ensure a Republican form of government in each and every one of the states. But the Constitution of the United States actually guarantees certain rights and privileges and immunities to all the citizens.
Equal protection, yeah, the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment. So it is absolutely that there are aspects of the federal government that do get applied into all states. And so the patchwork that we now see is an interesting one that everybody now has to keep an eye on. The laws vary for a number of different things, and because of that decision last summer, now the abortion as healthcare is now one of those things as well. But it's interesting to see that when a lawmaker says that this is the option that you should use, when it's not a binding option. That's where, in the state of Wisconsin, currently the state is kind of in limbo, Will, because there are individuals that say, yes, use ballot referendums, but then there's not a form of, without action from the state legislature to put something like that on the ballot, then it's not possible. And so it is interesting to see how ballot referendums get talked about, because it could get confusing for voters alone on that, of what is a binding ballot referendum and what's an advisory referendum. And so since Wisconsin has both, it does muddy the waters a bit.
We saw that on the fall ballot, or what? No, the spring ballot. We saw that on the spring ballot with the three referendum questions as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I believe two of them were binding. In hindsight, I don't even know if I ever found
I think
out.
It was two were non-binding and the third was binding.
We'll have to check that out for the people.
We'll check that out going forward. You made an interesting point. I think it's kind of kicking the can down the road by saying, the legislature has to handle it. We'll allow them to decide what is and is not worth covering. But if they're well aware that the legislation is not able to get anything done, then nothing is going to change. They're simply avoiding accountability, which is a theme that has come up now numerous times over the past week. How many elected officials seem to be dodging responsibility? Nobody wants to be held accountable. Everybody wants to be able to blame somebody else. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. I didn't do anything wrong. Don't blame me. Keep reelecting me. Luke, I want to jump into an interesting concept idea I had based on an idea you implemented in the past, which is most Wisconsin headline of the week. I'm thinking Friday is a good time to go Wisconsin headlines because everybody loves a good Wisconsin Friday. I'm asking you, the people of Wisconsin, give me your best Wisconsin headline and we will cover it on the show tomorrow. And you are more than welcome. In fact, I would love for you to join us in this forum discussion. 844-967-2789. We're going to do Wisconsin headline of the week Friday. What can you dig up that is more Wisconsin than any other news piece? Present it to us. We'll cover it on the show tomorrow. We're really excited to have this. Luke, you've had some great Wisconsin headlines over the past couple weeks, but I'm not going to lie. I got to take the field. I got to take the field on this one. I think the people of Wisconsin are going to be able to dig up some really juicy, really fun stuff to cover.
You stole my homework.
Well, you never did your homework.
That's not true. I occasionally did my homework.
The one time you did your homework.
844-967-2789. Yeah, friend of the show, Kristen Bry, and host of As Goes Wisconsin. Let us know, though, that two of the referendum that were on the ballot in April were, in fact, binding. They will be changing the state constitution. It was the welfare question that was non-binding. So that was the single one that was not binding resolution for the ballot referendums when it came to this spring's back in April's elections. So it does get confusing because guess what? It doesn't say this is the binding one, this is the non-binding one, this is the advisory, this is binding. It's a complex situation, and again, this we're talking about this because seems like there's an update at the Wisconsin State Capitol that maybe the provision that Assembly Republicans wanted to include to force voters in Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee to vote whether or not to raise their sales tax is going to be removed from the shared revenue plan. But more of that to come. You're going to have to stay tuned to Civic Media here all day long. Stay in tune for the 5 p.m. news update. It's going to be anchored by Terry Bell. And Will, this is really a great edition of Town Call.
It's always fun. We're always having a blast here on Town Call. You are the star. If you'd like to participate in tomorrow's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. Have a great rest of your day, Wisconsin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Talk to y'all then.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.